David Gilby, you never stop surprising me, my friend. You just drag along, well, not drag along, but you bring escort along some very special and entertaining guests, and you've today is no exception. Please tell us.
Are you accusing me of literary pimping here, are you, Grant?
Yeah, I mean it in the nicest possible way.
Okay, I'll take it in a very literary way. Look, yes, Grant, and thanks for having us on. It's my great pleasure to introduce you to Ken Eustace, actually, who was a colleague of mine at Charles Sturt University, where he lectured in IT of various kinds. And for a while there, he had a weekly column, I think, in the Daily Advertiser. But in bringing him along here this morning, Grant, is... because he's going to be the guest writer, the next guest writer for Baranga's Writers' Evening, the third Friday of the month Writers' Evening. Mm-hmm. My particular interest in Ken today and for Baranga is that he has written this fantastic biography of his great-grandfather, and Ken's called the book The Gumleaf Artist. I might actually start by asking Ken, you know, why is your biography of your great-grandfather called The Gumleaf Artist? That's a really weird title.
Yes, it is in a way. Good morning, Grant, and good morning, David. The original title was The Bush Artist of Black Dog Creek. Right. And a lot of people thought it must be a Western. I got some advice, actually, from someone we were talking about a moment ago, Adam Walters. He's a journalist, but he's an author as well, and he's written some books. And he said, no, that title's too long. Mm. You need something catchy.
So what is a gumleaf artist?
Well... it's somebody who paints on eucalyptus leaves.
No, you're having us on here, Ken. It can't be right.
That's probably the scientist in me.
He paints on gum leaves.
Yes, well, he came to Australia in 1851 from Berkshire in England,
right,
where he was the gamekeeper's son. Mm. And the gamekeeper's position was at the Earl of Craven's Ashdown House. The inheritance of a gamekeeper is by that...
Primogeniture.
Geniture, yeah, that's right. I knew you'd get it right, David. So as the fifth son, there's no inheritance. So they left Plymouth in May 25th, 1851. So on May 25th this month, it's exactly 175 years since they left Plymouth on a four-month voyage with a three-year-old boy and a baby infant girl.
Did they go straight to Chilton?
Well, what prompted it was his best friend, and he was the best man at his wedding, Jason Withers, had emigrated to Australia earlier in the 1840s, and he'd acquired a lot of land.
In Victoria?
In Victoria, yes, around Chilton, the Allana and El Dorado runs later. And more or less the letter said, listen, Alfred, my mate, who was best man at Jason's wedding back in England, how about coming into Australia? I've got 55,000 acres that I just bought off the government for £10. I need a shepherd to look after the flock. Because in those growing days of the colony, labour was always short. Mm. It didn't need a gold rush, which happened that same year.
So he came over to work on a farm.
That's right.
But I mean, the title of this book, The Gumleaf Artist, in our earlier conversation, I mean, he clearly became someone else than a sheep, a shepherd.
That's right. And my research in my book to find out more about this mysterious ancestor, he must have been educated. He not only self-taught himself to paint,
right,
but he wrote poetry. He wrote letters to the editors of newspapers. So obviously he's gone to school back in England because he was 31 when he left, and he was a gamekeeper, so he had those skills. And now he comes to be a shepherd. Well, what am I going to do? The sheep aren't doing much. I'll do some painting. I can't afford canvas. It's 200 miles to Melbourne. We can't afford the time. Oh, those gum leaves look interesting.
So was he a pioneer in that regard?
Yes.
Is anyone else doing the same thing?
No, he's regarded as the pioneer of gum leaf painting, and there's a lot of people who are doing it and have been doing it since.
So it's a whole new miniaturist movement in art, in a way, I guess. Is that right?
Yes. What he did was he started on the stem, and he worked right to the edges of the painting, And when you look at the gum leaves, only about 12 to 10 centimetres round.
Hang on, that's a fairly big,
that's a big gum tree.
I wouldn't have thought, that gum leaves were...
They're long and skinny, aren't they?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Long and skinny, like your, you know, your standard backyard eucalyptus.
Well, nature has an irony, doesn't it? The largest leaves are the juvenile leaves of the red box and white box eucalypt trees that grow in the nearby forest.
Look, I'm learning something already. Isn't it fantastic that on this Saturday morning we get to learn something new? So, Ken, you had some information about your great-great-grandfather, and in deciding to write this history of him and explore him, you've actually discovered that he had even more dimensions to his capabilities than you were aware of. And so the book is not just about his life, is that right?
No, it's like you've been telling me, it's about my research journey and my writing journey, and the discoveries that I've made about him leads me to know more about him. Like reading his 17 poems, he reveals a lot about his character, his painting, its improvisation. And these bush artists around Australia, they captured the environment. They're taking photographs of the environment, of what it was like before established farming and agriculture came about.
Were you able to fit his gum leaf paintings into your sense of the history of Australian art?
Well, that's the thing that I've been working with the Murray Art Museum in Albury, is that we want to get these bush artists in the mainstream of recognition, like Australian, the great landscape artists.
And the Impressionists, you know, and so forth.
Yeah, Hans Heisen, for example, has been compared to Alfred Eustace.
This is a real folksy or folkloric kind of art.
Now, these people are out there, they're in the bush, they paint outdoors, they don't paint in studios. In Sydney or Adelaide, so they're different. And so what Mama and I were looking at is, let's try and get these bush artists into being recognised for their contribution, not only to Australian art and culture, but the development of the nation, because he was a pioneer and the community as well.
Right.
Were there many others that got stuck into it, and was there a whole cohort of gum leaf artists?
No, not really at that time. I did go up to Queensland to the Mullaney Markets a few years ago, and I ran into a lady called Joan Garth. Joan's listening, I hope you don't mind me mentioning your name. But she got my attention because I was walking along through the stalls, and here's a whole range of gum leaf paintings.
I see.
And she was using acrylic instead of oil because she'd had trouble maintaining it, because Alfred, amongst all of his skills, was also a taxidermist. So he knew how to preserve those leaves. So they're still in the condition.
Wow, I was going to ask you that.
After 130 to 170 years, that varnish has preserved them. And a lot of other artists say, oh, the thing's crumbled, it's perished.
About how many, you know, gum leaf paintings of his survive, as far as you can estimate, Ken?
I've got about 40 plus in the book.
Oh.
It's a very pictorial book. I've got over 100 of his landscape paintings on board, on tin, on a pair of ostrich eggs, on the inside of a pearl shell.
This is all from your great-great-grandfather, for his art.
Yes.
So he was quite a quirky man in a way. He didn't just want to paint on a canvas. He wanted to paint on interesting media.
Yeah, that's right.
And look, my interest also is in him as a writer. Would you like to talk briefly about his poetry? On Friday night, Ken will, I think, you know, he'll read some extracts from his book to give the audience a sense of what the book's out about, and part of that will be his reading of some of the poems, I think. So it's going to be a really multi-dimensional talk, I think.
I thought I'd put David on the spot. I'll use two poems that I won't use in the writer's workshop, and ask him, I'll read the second one, if he'll read the first one, because it's very cold in Wagga this morning and the last few days. And so the title is Springtime is Coming, and that was one of Alfred's favourites of his own poems.
Springtime is Coming by Alfred William Eustace. Springtime is coming, the beautiful spring. Birds in the bush are beginning to sing. Buttercups rise from their months of repose. Buds are beginning to form on the rose. Wattles are bursting their blossoms of gold. Buds of the almond begin to unfold. Magpies are perched on the top of a tree, passing the time with a strange melody.
The book, is it officially available yet?
No, it's in pre-publication version, and
right.
There are draft versions in the yeah. local museums, but I'm waiting to hear from the publisher shortly.
Well, we must stay in touch and let us know when it's available, and we'll let people know.
And this Friday night at the Ambo Gallery downtown in Johnson Street from 6:30 onwards.
And there is a website. There's always a website. It's simply eustace.au/Alfred.
On ABC Riverina.